if you've seen the American cult soap opera Dark Shadows, it's Dark Shadows remade, but with gays and Tracy Scoggins. There's just a lot more nipple licking in Dante's Cove than there ever was in Dark Shadows.
Hello, and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things, some of which we know a lot about, other things our knowledge is a little bit
incomplete.
That's right. Thank you for joining us. This is episode number 50. I still don't know what episode number this is. I didn't look up this last time. But if you're clicking on this episode, you know what it is. 54, maybe? That could be right.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to possess you and undress you as we talk about the gay camp soap opera that is Dante's Cove. And I have seen some of these episodes back when it came out. It came out in 2005. Nick has not even heard of it. Is that right?
I've seen the first episode because I was told Stephen Amell was in it and he was naked with a towel. And so I made sure to do that research.
I mean, that's a good life reason.
10 years ago.
I see. Yeah, that's a plenty good reason. And
I don't remember the plot. I remember the towel.
No one ever watches these kinds of shows for the plot, do they? But yeah, since it's been so long ago and I've only seen part of it, we're happy to bring in a guest to talk about it. Joe is here to talk to us as well to fill in all the gaps in my knowledge. How are you doing today, Joe?
I'm all right, thank you. I've just rewatched episode one of Dante's Cove.
Yeah, good. So you've had a fresh new memory.
I've got a fresh new memory and I'm now desperate to watch all of it.
You know what? I was reading about it because I was just trying to refresh my memory as well. Just getting my mind to like what's the scenario is, what the world is like. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that part. Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. And I kind of actually do want to watch it again. Although I did watch a clip of it on YouTube. There's not a lot on YouTube, but the one that I did watch, which is Stephen Amell in a hammock or something like that. And I was like, this is trash. I really want to watch it now.
I'm excited to learn more.
So for anybody who's listening who's not up to speed on this show, basically it comes out in 2005. So we're just off of the high that was, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all these supernatural kind of dramas that it spawned because it was so successful. And this show came out on an LGBT network and it lasted 3 seasons. Like the first season is literally just 2 episodes and it was kind of put together like, let's see what we can do kind of thing. And it's centered around this witchcraft kind of religion. There's a lot of topless men. There are some lesbians. There's some drugs going on as well. A lot of sex on the beach. And it is just a lot of campy fun. Am I right so far, Joe?
That's very right. Very, very good.
Tell me, Joe, how come this didn't get really the recognition that it deserved back in the day?
I mean, on many levels, it's awful. It is. I've just rewatched episode one. I can tell you what happens in episode one now, and it is so funny how little actually happens. But what it is, it's one of the shows that absolutely knows what it is. So when I say it's absolutely awful, what I mean is it's not trying to be highbrow. It's not trying to be anything. It's basically, if you've seen, and it's certainly for Americans, if you've seen the American cult soap opera Dark Shadows, it's Dark Shadows remade, but with gays and Tracy Scoggins. And it's literally the same plot. It's set in the opening is in 1840. Dark Shadows has appeared in 1840. It's a vampire basically gets locked up in a basement, same in this, and he then comes out and wreaks havoc. There's just a lot more nipple licking in Dante's Cove than there ever was in Dark Shadows.
Fantastic.
I forgot that there was that kind of parallel. I love it as well.
Yeah, I suppose you've asked me on because it's not a highbrow podcast and I'm not highbrow, but
you're the first person I thought of.
I've just watched The Shining this week for the first time, and The Shining and Dark Shadows and that main setting, they all have that thing in common of from the past. That's sort of almost like there's a dark energy from the past. It's not just individuals. Mm. And I think this is sort of has the same thing. But yeah, it just keeps stopping for sex scenes.
Yeah, which I think is par for the course.
Yeah.
Have you not seen The Shining?
I'd never seen it before. One of those films totally passed by. And then we went to cinema this week. Prince Charles was showing it. So we went to Prince Charles and I loved it.
Were you at the... Did you go to the all-night Halloween thing?
No. Just at the Prince Charles. It was this week in the afternoon. One afternoon we went.
Cool. Who is Tracy Scoggins?
Tracy Scoggins?
I wanted you to... Because I know that...
Dynasty. I think she was in Dynasty. I think she came late on in Dynasty as a sort of the new sort of Joan Collins, Kate O'Mara type. I might be wrong, but I think she's in Dynasty or the Colbys. Then she came into Babylon 5. And then I think she must have done other stuff, but she's in this and she is astonishing. She knows exactly what she's doing. She is campus tits. She is absolutely brilliant. And my one criticism of episode one is that she's not in it enough. She's basically, the story opens in 1840 and it literally opens with Tracy and her bloke Ambrosius, who's very handsome. They're walking down what looks like a modern day California street. But the caption is
I love this already.
See?
The music is all... how do you describe Linkin Park and all that stuff that was big at the time, which I love? Evanescence, you know, that sort of...
Oh, like the emotional rock.
Emotional rock.
New metal rock. Yeah.
And the music is all that, even when it's in 1840, which is brilliant. Amazing. And so they're walking down the street. A young woman walks by and Ambrosius catches her. She catches his eye and gives him a smile. She carries on walking. Tracy turns around. Her eyes glow red and the woman dies. Phone walking out of her mouth. And you're like, brilliant, brilliant. We're literally less than a minute in.
Love it.
Scoggins has killed a woman just for looking at her bloke. And then they go in.
That's amazing.
And Tracy's like, oh, I'm just really sad because that woman looked at you. And he's like, you don't need to worry about her. So Tracy goes off and she doesn't need to worry about him because then the butler comes in and they have sex. The butler and Ambrosius have sex to new metal music. You see quite a lot. And it goes on.
Yeah. How much are we talking?
Both got super gym ripped bodies like everybody in 1840 had.
Of course, what they did back in the day.
Had abs. And then Tracy comes back, sees this, kills the butler by again making him sort of flop and collapse and frail around with his willy thrashing around everywhere. And then she locks Ambrosius up in the basement and she performs this spell because she knows that what Ambrosius is he's super vain. So he knows how handsome he is and everybody likes to look at him. So she makes him look hideous by turning him into a man in about his 40s with a bad face. Like he's not a looking model or anything like that, but he's not like, you know, Dark Shadows did amazing makeup. Any other show would cast like a 90-year-old or whatever. This man looks like he's in about his 40s. He looks about my age, but he's got a bad grey wig on and she locks him in the cellar and he will never be released until a pretty boy kisses him. It's the curse, the bizarre curse she puts on him, which, you know, curses go is quite nice. And then she pops out the cellar and her mum turns up. So she goes, oh, hello, mum. Tracy's about 50. Her mum is about 50. So already you're just like, this is just pure joy. And she lies to her mum and says she's killed Ambrosius, but she hasn't really. She's locked him in the cellar waiting for a pretty boy. And she is, with no other lie, Tracy absolutely owns every scene she is in. She is astonishing. She is pure camp.
Yeah.
So does she... So what...
So fast forward.
He stays there for what?
So he's
150 years or so.
1840, and then they wake up in 2005, 2006.
They're witches, by the way. In case you missed
that. I was going to say,
but it's never really spelled out. But what she does is she has the copies of Dante's Inferno, and the town's called Dante's Cove. And spoiler alert: in the present day, Tracy's house has become Hotel Dante.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
what?
I mean, they don't spell it out to you. They require audience intelligence. You have to work out these links yourself.
Of course.
And I've seen a few.
That's what we're here for.
So I've worked it out. It's quite easy for me. But yeah, it's not always the same for everyone.
Perfect.
Does that mean he's what happens to him then if he comes back? Well, is he a vampire?
He's ageless, isn't he?
Well, You'd think when we cut to the modern day, we might get to him quite quickly. You'd be wrong. No. People keep being distracted by having sex.
Yeah. So, it's a terrible curse.
Shall I tell you what happens
next? That sounds about right for the gay community.
Do you know what happens next? Modern day, two very pretty white boys. Right. One's got long dark hair and stubble, so he's called Toby. And the other one's a young, pretty blonde guy who's not Stephen Amell, but looks like him. And he's called Kevin. Kevin is angry because his mum and his abusive stepdad, they're mean to him because they think he's gay. Kevin is also about 25, so it's a bit odd. Anyway, Kevin, they get into a taxi and immediately one gives the other one a blowjob.
They're young.
Yeah, but they get into a taxi and immediately one gives the other one a blowjob while the taxi driver watches.
Of course.
Then they go and eat some burgers. Then they go to the beach. Then they go home and have sex. That's like, I think, our third sex scene in 20 minutes in. And then they have an argument. And then they break up. And then they look out at the sea. Kevin goes to the sea. Toby does press ups. So as sad music plays.
That's what you do.
Of Kevin looking out at the sea while Toby does press ups, presumably because he's very upset. So they're sad press ups.
Yes.
And then it has a brilliant moment, which is Kevin's phone rings while he's on the beach. So he takes out his earphone. The music for the montage was what he's been listening to.
Oh,
that's lovely.
That's massive.
And then, first time it's ever been done.
And then, so we meet his mum, and Toby's upset. So he phones a woman called Van. She has a name. She's called Van. Then Kevin takes his top off.
This is the lesbian friend.
She's a lesbian. Well, they're all, I think, I think is the thing. Kevin then takes his top off on the beach to lie down. Toby finds him in an open shirt. They have sex. No, they're snogging. Yeah, then they're in vests. They sort of have sex in the sea. Then Toby says goodbye again. So
okay.
Right. This is brilliant writing.
Where's Tracy Scoggins? When's someone going to remember?
Where is Tracy?
So Kevin is moving. He's moving to this town of Dante's Cone.
No, not yet, because they've just broken Toby... up.
We're not even in Dante's Cove yet?
No, this is in Dante's Cove. Kevin now leaves Dante's Cove. Oh, okay. Back to his mum and evil stepdad's sort of mansion, where his evil stepdad has the
best. So he's just visiting.
Yeah. And then mum says to him, I don't know what's gotten into you recently. And evil stepdad says, I know what's getting into him. That boy.
Nice.
It works on two levels.
Brilliant.
I mean.
And Kevin confirms he's gay and leaves and goes back to Dante's Cove.
Okay, so that's when he moves in.
Then he's
but still no Ambrosia or Tracy Scoggins. Yeah.
No, we're still not there. So then he's on a bus moving back to Dante's Cove, and bizarrely has a copy of Dante's Inferno that we last saw in Tracy Scoggins' house. He rests it on his head and has a dream sequence with screaming kids. And
he puts it on his head?
He kind of rests it over his face like he's sleeping. So I'm guessing it's meant to imply it's a really long coach journey. But he's trying to let him come back. But remember, of course, him and Toby have split up. We've not had any confirmation they've spoken to each other.
So he's just moving back to Dante's Cove because that's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a man with his shirt open called Corey greets him. Corey always has a shirt open and has very smooth pecs and abs and is incredibly shiny. And I think Corey's on drugs.
2005, shiny.
Yeah, I think Corey's on drugs. Okay. And Corey just greets him and decides to show him around this hotel that isn't a hotel. We meet Amber, who's going to grab her laundry. I don't know. That's it. I assume she means laundry. Then we meet Adam, who is the actor Stephen Amell.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Amell here is we lying go.
On a bed. He's very shiny, very ripped, and also confirms that he is, in fact, straight.
Mm.
Yes.
Oh.
So how he's going to fit in with the other residents of Dante's hotel, I don't know. But then we meet the straight couple, which Corey says they should just stop and watch having sex for a bit. So I think we're on to about our fifth sex scene now. Mm-hmm. Then he shows him the basement.
The straight couple sex scene?
Yeah, the straight couple having sex.
We're like, this is our first red flag for Nick and I. We're like, hang on a second, wait, what?
No, one of them's black as well, so that's fine. Yeah, it's quite nice that someone's not white.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then it gets exciting, because then Corey shows Kevin the basement.
It hasn't been so far.
Oh, it's been very great. And Corey shows Kevin the basement. And you know what's in the basement?
Ambrosius.
Ambrosius?
Yeah.
40-year-old Ambrosius is hanging from his manacles in the basement. But he's not. He's in a second.
So. Oh, right. He's in a second basement. I was going to say, because why have people not seen him in the past 150 years?
Yeah, so there's a basement under their basement. So they go down, because what they keep in their basement is what Corey describes as the beers for their many, and he, I quote, bitching parties.
Jeez.
Like a bitchy party or like a bitchin'?
Yeah.
No, they're bitching. This is like proper naughties lingo, isn't
and then,
it?
So then they leave the cellar, just in case we were getting too close to the plot. They decide to leave the cellar immediately.
Oh, so they don't even find him.
Give it time. Give it time. They go and meet Van, who we met earlier on, and Van's an artist. Terrible. And she paints pictures of all the hauntings that have happened in this hotel. And again, I don't know whether these people live here or work here, or whether it is a hotel. I've not seen a reception area. No concierge.
Okay.
Toby arrives, and rather intriguingly, Toby's dressed, which is rare. An old hag stops him in the street and says he is crying, and Toby walks away because we don't want to get too close to the plot. You know, they keep getting they keep getting dangerously close to something happening. And then we see Kevin's arse because he's in the shower. So Toby joins him and says, something weird's just happened. And Kevin says, I don't care. Let's have sex. And they have shower sex.
Let's have sex.
And then there's a banging sound.
In the shower.
A lot of nipple licking. Yeah. Then they're in bed having bed sex. Then they're in front of a window having window sex. Mm-hmm. Then they're in a chair having chair sex.
Window sex.
Although they stopped to light it over.
All in one go?
And then they're back on the bed. Oh, Kevin asks Toby if Toby's all right. And Toby says, no. And talks about the hag outside. So...
So this is basically like makeup sex, which everybody knows is everywhere.
Yeah, at no point did they have a conversation saying they're making up. So it's...
This is just...
Just sex.
And then there's a full moon.
Right.
Ah, Kevin hears a voice.
Is the full moon important? I feel like the full moon would be important. Well, not really.
No.
Kevin hears a voice.
This is fantastic.
Kevin hears a voice, so he goes to the window in a towel. I don't think Kevin has worn a shirt in about one scene. And then Kevin goes to explore. Where's the voice coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The basement.
The voice says, help me. Kevin goes back to bed.
Oh, for God's
Because why? What else would you do?
So it's a man calling help me from the basement.
How long are these episodes? Well, you know, that's a sensible idea.
The next morning, they're all having breakfast together in vests and pants, the girls and the boys. Van makes herbal coffee, and Toby says, I'll have to brush my teeth after this. And they all literally wet themselves laughing. It's the funniest thing Toby has ever said, clearly. Kevin goes to the beach in his jeans, no top, and watches Van paddling in the sea, also wearing no top, so she's got her boobs out. And he has a flashback to his step. Van has no shame. She is open. She's an artist. He joins Van on the beach about his step. He just starts crying, and then we cut to a bitching party at the hotel.
Bitching party.
There's a woman in one of those amazing. Do you remember the kooky hat phase in the early 2000s, where a woman would wear like a sort of not hat, whatever it was? There's a woman in one of those, and she looks amazing.
What kind of hat?
Kind of like a clueless
kind of
hat.
Sort of like, is it Trilby? Oh. I don't know. But she looks amazing. It's the best period of history.
Yeah.
Amber meets the lady DJ. So Amber, who we met earlier on, she's got long hair. So you don't get her confused with that. The longer girl. Amber meets the DJ, says she doesn't get scared by ghosts. Then they lesbian dance. Then they're on the beach and they're lesbian dancing next to a bonfire. I'm not sure. They've not really added anything to the story, such as it is.
So they left the party to continue the
lesbian dancing. Then Corey, we go back to Corey, who's the shiny one who's taking drugs, I think. He's wearing a string vest. And he sends Van and the blonde girl in the kooky hat down to the basement for extra beers. They go down to the basement. Van says that at some point people did voodoo in the hotel. Then they have lesbian sex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic.
In the basement. In the basement.
Above, you know, Ambrosius is just below.
Oh, yeah.
So we're so close. Then they go back, but they've been so distracted by their lesbian sex, they've brought back a case of soda, not beer. Kevin goes down to the basement. So close to Ambrosius. And we know Kevin is clearly going to be and British is his victim because Kevin is the pretty boy. You know, he's an innocent 30-year-old twink. Kevin tries to open the hatch, but Toby calls down to him. So Kevin gets some beer and goes back up. And then we have my favourite moment in all of Dante's Cove is the beer are packs of Corona. You see my picture of it?
Yes.
They're packs of Corona, which they all hold quite clearly.
This is I remember this.
You can't have that. So someone stuck tape over Corona. So they've got boxes of beer bottles cases. Of what are clearly Corona, but just have nah written on them.
Yeah. Nah. And it's like the same font as everything. They're like the cases of beer.
Any brand name you could think of, if it was Kellogg's Corn Flakes and they just put a tape over the K, so you go, oh, have you got any of those Kellogg's Corn Flakes? Yeah, it is so brilliant because it's also like you keep holding them up. So they're literally like holding them in display in front of them. Anyway, then Toby gives Kevin a blowjob.
Of course.
They go to the beach. Yeah. Toby gives Kevin a blowjob.
Yeah.
But Kevin is now distracted by visions of the hatch. So he goes back to open it. Toby sits by the beach fire. Kevin finds Ambrosius. Kevin goes into the hidden basement, finds Ambrosius. Well, you can imagine his reaction.
Blowjob.
Oh, dear. He's like, it's so bizarre because for an episode, for a TV thing that's been full of music so far, there's no music or anything like that. And Kevin's just like, oh, dear. So he lets go of him and Ambrosius attacks Kevin, and kisses him, which disgusts Kevin because obviously Ambrosius
looks like he's 'cause he's 'cause he's 40 years old, obviously.
Literally, Kevin throws up. And when he looks back up, Ambrosius is his young, sexy self. He causes Kevin.
Oh, thank goodness.
Finally, he causes Kevin to cut himself. Kevin runs off. Ambrosius, I swear, looks at the camera. I think it's meant to be the handy mirror that's in front of him, but looks at the camera and says, until next time, and then tidies his hair. And then we cut to Kevin in hospital. And Toby goes to meet him. Kevin sends Toby home. Toby meets the hag again, who gives him a photo of Ambrosius. Toby goes back to Dante's hotel, and the party's still going on. And at this point, Van has followed the blood trail down to the cellar and then come back up. So when she says, where's Kevin? Toby says he's in the hospital, he cut himself. And Van goes, oh, that must have been the blood I was looking at. And didn't do anything about. So they go back to the party. Stephen Amell reckons Kevin's been taking drugs, so nobody likes Stephen Amell. And then Ambrosius comes out from the house, from the hotel. Right. He meets Corey and says, and Corey says, hey, you're new. You should stay here at the party. And Ambrosius sneers and says, oh, I plan on staying for a very long time. And then leaves. And then it says to be continued.
Woo! Oh my God.
That's the end of the episode.
And like, can we just wrap it up now so I can watch episode 2 again? Because I swear, it is so entertaining. It is so
I am on the edge of my seat. What on earth is going to happen?
Every time it gets so close to a plot, someone goes, that's a blowjob.
Let's have a quick.
Wait, I've got my boobs out. Should we have a lesbian scene? I don't know if I'm a lesbian, but you are in this scene.
I like that it's a mix of like blowjobs and lesbian sex. That it's blowjobs. I'm glad that they're having plenty of boobs out.
Yeah,
no,
it's
quality.
Yeah,
nice.
I was upset because not upset. I was like, I was dreading it because like, oh yeah, there's lesbians in this show as well. But it doesn't sound like it distracts from the whole enjoying.
No, don't worry, it's men predominantly men
with their abs out.
You'll be fine.
The lesbians are there, so you can go make yourself.
A
little brace, yeah. You don't want it to be.
Wait a minute. There's two women alone in a room together. Oh, I've got time to make a brew.
Done. No,
give me a few minutes. Yeah. It reminds me of what was happening in TV back in that era, because TV's come leaps and bounds since then, where it was like with the LGBT community being more and more present in people's minds. It's like, yeah, let's have a channel that caters just to this community, and let's make some shows. But they didn't know how to do it because they were not like, I don't know. There's no history of it, so they're doing their own thing, and it sounds like it's just complete trash, like soap opera stuff.
I think it's great. It's still going, isn't it? The network is still. Is it? I'm just googling. It says it's Here TV. Is that?
Yeah, here. or here plus here TV. I'm not sure what it is, if it's still on, but they've done other stuff since then. Oh, you might have heard of, there's a spinoff to the show called The Lair, L-A-I-R.
Very mucky. The Lair is very mucky. Be warned.
Yeah. So it started off as a kind of like a spinoff of this show, but more about with vampires, I think. But there's like ties into it, and it's just so, yeah, it's just people, you know, gay enthusiasts just making TV.
I forgot about the Gnar beer. That was amazing.
The Gnar beer is amazing. But what I love about it as well, though, is that, and it is, it wasn't just that, this sort of time. There was like shows like Revenge and Ugly Betty and all these sort of shows in that period that were like big.
Yeah,
and
they're kind of plasticky.
And they'd have montages. They'd have people walking to be a montage. And really, and also, I mean, the title sequence is glorious. The title sequence is like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but with lots of gay sex in it and to sort of Evanescence, Linkin Park, Die to Be With You. It's an absolute banging tune. I did go out and buy it when I first watched the series.
Fantastic.
You sort of go, and these days, even though there's so much brilliant TV, and I love a lot of TV that's been made these days invariably the title sequence is some white letters. It was on such black. And the music goes boing, and then you go into the episode. You're like, give me a montage.
Yeah.
Give me people looking to camera.
I mean, there's some TV shows where the whole intro sequence is like an art form on itself. Some sort of either it's like just the title, like you described, or like if I'm thinking of like The Crown or White Lotus or Game of Thrones, where everything is just so elaborate and ornate and sort of big orchestral stuff, and you have to sit and watch it every time.
Yeah, give me some fun.
Charmed as well. They did that as well with a sort of
It's all of that rocky era. Yeah. Which is more realistic, Dante's Cove or Buffy the Vampire Slayer? You're a hot young teen or 20 something, and there's a vampire you've got to investigate, but you're kind of
horny. So, quick blowjob first.
Yeah,
then you do. Vampires.
Quick blowjob, then we'll go and investigate. Wait, before you tell me the plot point you've discovered, let's have sex.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
That's what people want to see.
There's sex in front of a window at one point, and I know I'm a bit older now, but I'm just a bit like, need to see that.
That's the best part.
I mean, I live on I live on the 17th floor now, and that's all I'm going to say. Right. And the windows are floor to ceiling.
I live in a ground floor flat, so, you know.
Yeah, that's different for you. I can look over the city and be like,
I live opposite a park. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, a lot of children in that park as well, aren't there?
But yeah, I am slightly baffled by how Hotel Dante
What's
works.
The economies of that? Yeah.
Because I don't think it can be a hotel.
Well, it's just the setting of it.
I think if you just checked in and looked out at the bitchin party, you would be a bit like, I'm not going to give you the best trip advisor.
But the thing is, it could just be like a gay hotel. Like, I'm pretty sure people would just go there for bitchin parties. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of places in Barcelona like that.
I don't know who's paying the rent.
Is there a pool as well?
Yeah, and like black bathrooms.
Well, they're very near the beach.
A sauna.
I haven't seen a pool in this episode. They're very near a beach.
Well, that's
though.
True, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also the rooms inside, it doesn't look like a hotel. It looks like a house. You know, it's a big old house, but there's no like corridors with room numbers on. And like when Corey shows Kevin around, he just opens people's rooms.
Hello.
So he literally goes into the rooms. It's all very
And this is where Toby is staying, and this is where Van is staying.
Yeah, that's literally slightly confusing as well, because I think Toby seems to be in a different building in these opening scenes. That seems to be Toby's house. And then the implication seems to be he does live at the hotel. So I don't know if Toby moves while Kevin's being called the F word by his stepfather.
But, wow. So it obviously appeals to a certain demographic.
How does the show evolve over the series? Because it seems like we're setting episodes 1 and 2 were the first season. So, right, we're getting the idea.
Yeah.
Blowjobs and some sort of guy and Tracy Scoggins. How do they draw that storyline out? Is there like a monster of the week? Is it like a mystery in the cove?
No.
Or is it just blowjobs and old people?
No.
It's all ongoing stuff. And it's all basically... It's very dark shadows. It is incredibly dark shadows. It's all about, basically, I think if I remember right, it's been a few years since I've seen it all, but it basically is Kevin gets possessed a lot. I think Kevin is the damsel in distress. There's a lot of Van and Toby investigate, but Van disappears after series one. I think she comes back in series two or three when they use a clip of her from series one.
Oh, really?
Well, she's happy enough. She's on the beach. And I'm like, that's series one, Van. but yeah, she disappears. Stephen Amell gets recap. Well, I assume Stephen Amell gets a maybe slightly more high-paid job at some point in his life. Yeah. So he gets recast by another identikit blonde muscle guy. And I think it's just also there's a hospital.
Is there a bad guy? Is Tracy Scoggins the bad guy?
Ambrosius.
He's the bad guy.
Ambrosius is, yeah.
Like the, oh, I'm cursed.
Ambrosius said he's not going anywhere
before he left.
Ambrosius is there because Ambrosius presumably wants revenge. Ambrosius is Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows. Ambrosius is the risen Count Dracula.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain Corey becomes Renfield. Mm. So Corey, who does seem to be on drugs, I think becomes the sort of Renfield character. If I remember right, he becomes quite hot because he's quite hot already. I quite like Corey because he does. The others are all a little bit. Oh, I'm pretty. Whereas Corey's just like, this is great.
I remember Corey being the kind of nerdish kind of character. Is that right?
He's sort of nerdish, but he's also like at one point wearing a bizarre sort of string. We'll call it fetish. It's almost like a string vest type thing, which he thinks he looks great in. Other people don't think he looks great in. But it shows off his pecs very nicely.
Nice.
Yeah, he's sort of, he's jittery.
Yeah.
I think the implication is he's not classically handsome like the others. He just is much more handsome than anybody doing this podcast because he's Hollywood and ugly.
Because he's basically a model being cast in an LGBTQ show. Gorgeous.
But clearly isn't. Actually, from slightly older eyes, for me, it's like he's actually probably the hottest one in it because the others are all very bland.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally, it's so funny because Kevin and Stephen Amell are identical. They have the same blonde hair. All the only difference is that Stephen Amell is a bit bigger.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I did read the sort of the breakdown, so I can tell you a little bit about how the story progresses in season two because like you said, it's just more about this witchcraft. It turns out to be like an old-timey religion. Ambrosius is obsessed, apparently. He's obsessed with Kevin because he's the one that broke him out of this trance. For a long time, he's basically going after Kevin a lot. And in season two, you have Van's girlfriend appears and Van starts dabbling in this witchcraft. And so at some point she finds Tracy Scoggins and is like, teach me this witchcraft. And Tracy Scoggins at first is like, no, because you're not committed or whatever. And Van says, I am. Let me prove it to you, whatever. And so the girlfriend actually is sort of disapproving of this witchcraft. And so what does Van do? Obviously she uses witchcraft to erase the girlfriend's memory.
Trope, standard.
Which is a trope. Which backfires, obviously, so that goes tits up. And then is it season two where there's some sort of solstice or some impending witchcrafty kind of ritual that they have to perform? So everybody's got to find like a what they call an aspirant, to take under their tutelage. So Tracy Scoggins ends up taking Van under her wing and sort of trains her that way. Corey is like more of the... like you said, the Renfield character who just sort of serves Ambrosius. The Stephen Amell character who gets recast, he starts doing drugs. So there's this drug that is basically...
It's a supernatural drug, isn't it?
It's a supernatural drug, yeah. So for normies like you and me, it just gives you like a bit of a high and maybe you have like a prophetic dream or something. But if you're practicing this religion/witchcraft, apparently you... can see the future, and it heightens your abilities in a way.
Oh, isn't the witchcraft called Tresemme, like the champagne?
Tresemme. The religion is called Tresemme.
Maybe she's bummed.
And there's also a club that everyone goes to because you need like a dance club for people
for
to sort
parties.
Of a place to go. The club is called H2O.
They need a place to go and hang out, don't they?
The club is called H2O, but O is spelled E-A-U, like water, because they're on the beach, whatever.
That's a terrible name for a club.
Yeah.
Imagine
is it
in that town you go, should we go shopping? Yeah, where is it to go?
That's true. Yeah.
And there's a second older woman, I don't know who she's played by, who is basically just shows up and kind of works her way into people's lives. Like she hires Van as a cleaning maid or something like that. It turns out it's Tracy Scoggins' sister from back in the day. And she's plotting with Ambrosius to sort of take over on this big solstice magic spell kind of thing going on. So yeah, it's a lot of that. It's the more I read about it, the more I think to myself, how was all of this in one episode?
Well, especially when you consider how little happens in episode
nothing,
one.
Yeah.
No, in no,
the
right?
Entire of season one so far, they're just going down to Rona Beers.
They might go down to the basement. Mm-hmm, which is very Dark Shadows. In Dark Shadows, yeah. But Dark Shadows was a daily soap opera. So yeah. Dark Shadows relied on...
And that was daily.
Someone's got closer to the cellar, but there's other storylines happening, didn't it? With this, the only storyline that we're remotely invested in is what's in the cellar. And people just keep going down and having sex.
Sounds like a fun cellar. Sounds like a bitchin' party, frankly.
It's a bitchin' party.
But also, you just have to think, wait a second. It's a bitchin' party with about... must be about 50 people there. And they go, we've run out of beers. Go down and get some more beers. And they come back with one case of Gnar. So they come back with about 10 bottles of Gnar. And you're like, what about everybody else? What are they drinking?
Just seltzer. Probably don't.
It's not what it's about.
They're probably on Ella Artois.
Ella Artois. I'll have a bit of Arlesberg, if you don't mind.
Arlesberg. I'm quite posh. I'll have an Eretti.
Oh, my God.
I don't want beer. I'll have a cider. Give me a Spall. Yeah, so that's as far as I got. There's like a third season as well that kind of goes even further.
So
Kevin and Toby break up. Then they get back together. Yeah. Then they break up. And then he's under a spell.
Okay.
I think Ambrosius at one point kind of tells Toby to become his aspirant in exchange for giving up control of Kevin or something like that.
Interesting.
Oh, and there's like Kevin's ex shows up as well.
Yes, I do remember all that, sorts. Which is slightly odd because you were under the impression that Kevin didn't have an ex, but...
Considering he was in the closet.
Yeah.
His ex shows up.
So... how much nudity do you get in this? Just to keep it on topic. Like,
I think you can tell which actors have been paid what.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Van has her boobs out straight away. Van's like,
good for
Van. Quite happy.
Go on.
Put her tits out.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the main boys so far we've seen Willie, but we've seen bum of everyone except Stephen. Stephen Amell hasn't shown anything. And actually Corey hasn't shown much, but I think that changes. So
you see like Willie in the
guest butler, the butler who Ambrosius is shagging in the first scene. He's full
frontal,
which is quite funny when he's splashing around and his little Willie's going.
Aww, poor thing.
It's the things that LGBT community has to do to be considered art.
Exactly. You know, this is
In 2005, we would have taken it. It's like it would have been mind blowing that there's anything like that. That's. But we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite...
I mean...
it's not graphic. It's got this slightly odd thing of it. It's basically soft porn, a lot of it. Because you don't see anything too graphic. But at the same time, there's no... they lie down, they pull a sheet over them.
Yeah.
We cut to the next morning.
That kind of
it's
thing.
It's very clear what they're doing. Yeah. And they're doing it lengthily, in showers, in chairs, in front of windows. Okay. I feel sorry for the maid at the hotel.
Oh.
Housekeeping.
Could you imagine like the set dress? Like, what kind of
room? That's Toby's room. We know what he gets.
No.
So it's got, but it is so. But it does have this slightly odd thing of, like it's not that it's not sexy, but I don't feel like it's a show you can watch. You'd want to particularly watch by yourself. So I've watched it with my partner. And then we introduced it to somebody else. I think that's how it worked. So we watched it.
Me?
Did we introduce it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but I've certainly watched it all the way through with some other mates as well. Because it's funny. It's pure entertainment. It knows what it is. It's pure entertainment. But it just means it's slightly odd because, like, even when I was watching it just now, you know, when Amber and the girl on the beach are having the sort of lesbian, slightly sexed out type thing, I was sort of sitting watching it going, okay. That's going quite well. Oh, yeah. And it's
skip.
I don't think anybody's really going to necessarily watch it as porn. The only people who might, suppose, though, might be younger teens who are watching.
I was going to say young people, yeah.
In which case, it might. I can imagine it would be very hot, but because it's all so funny and camp and that the sex scenes aren't. At no point am I sitting there going, "Oh, that's sexy." Right. I'm sitting there going, "Oh, they're fit." You know that. You know this is nice, but you know I'm not.
It's more tittly here than
I'm not having to close the blinds while I'm watching it.
Yeah. So how? I mean, like, how much cock do you see in a show like Queer as Folk, for example? And that was around the same time as this? I'm not earlier, sure. Maybe a little bit later.
That would have been.
Was it earlier?
2000?
Oh, I'm thinking of the US version.
Oh, the English one.
Yeah. I've never seen the American version, but the English one's a bit earlier. But the English one is more real world.
Yeah. Whereas this sounds like a, like, it's you know, like Dynasty, sex. But for hot gay dudes.
Yeah. And it's like, it's like porn sex. It's, there are candles everywhere. To the point that, you know, it presumably means Toby and Kevin, if you actually think about the logic of it, Toby and Kevin were having sex in the shower. Then they left Kevin's, then they left whichever room the shower was in, went to Toby's room because he now seems to live in the hotel, lit a load of candles.
Of course.
Then decided to have sex in the chair. Then decided to have sex in front of the window. You know, at some point they stopped light candles. So I think Queer as Folk is a bit more real worldy of, well, we might.
This is definitely not realistic.
You know. But with this,
I mean, you can't have a show about witchcraft and not have candles.
I know, but
of course, no.
They presumably weren't lit because they were having sex in the shower. They presumably came into the room, lit the candles, and then had sex. So presumably, in the mid throes of passion, they went, "Wait a minute, we need candles."
I know what'll make this the perfect.
Yeah. So it's that soft porn type thing where it's like the Amber and the DJ. They have this flirt and then they immediately start sexy dancing in front of the sort of DJ booth. And then it does a sort of, it merges to them dancing in the same position on the beach. So again, the reality of that is they were having quite sexy dancing in quite a sexy party. Then they decided to go to the beach and presumably built the bonfire. Yeah. And then decided to carry on having sexy dancing in exactly the same way they were doing in front of the DJ booth. So
was this the DJ? Did they leave their job to go and have a sexy dance on the beach?
Did the bitching party just stop?
Yeah, well, so we got to go sexy dance on the beach.
Yeah, who else is going to DJ?
Exactly.
I don't know why you're looking at this with such a realistic lens. Like, this is obviously just
Queer as Folk. It's not about whether you see a willy or not. It's the level of realism where you just go, yes, no point in this. Is any sex scene remotely real? You know, when they did the blowjob, and they're so lucky that the taxi driver's like, "Oh, that's a bit sexy." Oh. I'm a hideously old fat person of at least 33, so I'm looking.
Disgusting.
You're like, "Oh." Whereas actually, I suspect most taxi drivers would be like, "No,
get the fuck out."
Yes. Who's going to clean up after that? Not you.
Doing in my taxi. It's the middle of the afternoon.
Put it away. So do we think Dante's Cove should have a reboot?
Oh, they've been talking about it.
Have they?
No, I think it should have a sequel.
Oh, carry on.
Reboots. I want the story. Sequels all the way.
Well, that's fine, because it's also 20 years later, so they could just carry on the story with a new generation of shiny, greasy boys. Yeah, because
obviously everybody who's in it, who's in the current series, is far, far too old.
Is in their 40s now, which is fucking disgusting.
You know, the sequel should open with them all being lined up and shot for being...
Get rid of them.
A disgrace to the LGBT community by being in their 40s.
Get
them out!
How dare. Out to you.
But should they bring back Tracy Scoggins, though?
Obviously. She's 70 now. No, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 70 now.
Something like that.
But I bet she still looks stunning.
What, you got a picture up?
Oh, I've just seen her, like, original photo. She was beautiful in the day. Not, I mean, you know.
I think, you know, it is one of those things where, for anything you say about the show, it knows exactly what it's doing.
Well, that's the whole point, then, isn't it?
It knows what its audience wants. Its audience wants sex and vampires and, you know, that's it. And montages. So many montages. We want dream sequences. I want flashbacks.
But I love all of that.
I love all of that. I love a show that has a flashback to a scene we've literally just had.
I've just seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. We can't trust Kevin's acting ability that when he looks sad on the cliff in just his jeans, we can't trust that his acting ability will get across that he's thinking about his stepdad calling him the F word. So we'll need to have a flashback to his stepdad calling him the F word so that he can then go get comforted by Van.
Makes sense.
Obviously has no bra on. So you just have this thing of Van's breast being pressed into Kevin's shoulder while they hug. And you're like,
oh my God.
That'd be a bit.
Do you still own all the DVDs, Joe?
I think we digitized them, so we've got them all. We've got it all as MP4s.
Oh, fine.
We've got the whole series.
I do remember I got you. I think it was like season 2 for Christmas when you were, or something like that.
Well, yeah, I think.
Hope you got a lot of money off.
Yeah, it went on eBay. We do have the unaired pilot, which I nearly watched today, but I didn't watch the unaired pilot because there's an unaired pilot.
Oh my God! Really? We don't need that.
Yeah, for super fans.
Super fans. Of which
you
I
can you can stream it on Amazon, but you need a Here TV add-on subscription, which is $3.99 a month, or start your 7-day free trial. I feel like you could power through.
You'd power through it.
Power through.
Honestly, I would recommend it to anyone listening to this. If you've got a couple of nights, you've got a few mates around, whatever, get some bottles of Nar in and
get a couple of Nars, a couple of cold Nars.
Burn through it, because honestly it is so joyous and it is so like of its time as well, of that, in that way that you sort of go, oh, do you remember Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And I'm like, yes, it was last week. No, it wasn't, it was 20 years ago. It's so of its time of being 20 years. I still think of 20 years ago as the 80s, and it's
the 80s, but
this is so of that period. It's just absolutely the woman in the hat. I love the woman in the hat.
Yeah, that's I feel like a quintessential.
I was like, she's classy. She's not like the other ladies here without their hats. This is a kooky lady in a kooky hat. She's got a bit of class.
And are all the episodes like an hour-long episodes?
This one was an hour 20.
So,
God.
Okay, so the first one's about...
Hour 45 for episode 2, just heads up. But the rest are about an hour.
Well, a total of 12 episodes. You can definitely
get
still
one and
do
two done in one evening.
It's $3.99. That's a month's worth of entertainment right there. Give it a go, I think. That's a night's worth. That's a bottle of Nar. That's not even a whole bottle of Nar, frankly. You'd spend more on a bottle of Nar.
Nowadays.
I think something like this, I'm a continuation, this season 4 set 20 years later. They could do it on their iPhones. People could film this stuff on their iPhones with just hot influencers, and they'd be great. That's all we need.
Has the LGBTQ community grown since then in terms of their
tastes? No.
tastes. I was going to say their skills at creating TV shows.
Yes.
Like, what is on nowadays?
I think we could.
That is, well, like this.
What's the gayest thing on TV?
Is there anything?
Is there anything on TV?
What is the gayest
as gay
thing
as
on
this?
TV?
Anything as gay?
I'm trying
as
to think
this.
Of anything that's genre. I don't think there's anything really genre, is there?
No, not like the sort of
the
cancel
like
bubble
the
kind of thing, is there?
Which is brilliant. There's stuff like that. You know, there are shows like that, but I can't think of anything sort of camp gay horror.
Oh, I feel like there's a band.
So what you're saying is there's a vacuum. Yeah. There's a vacuum that we can create something. It'll be a big hit.
I think we looked at a couple of vampire ones in the last episode. Like, no, that was a film where it was just hot naked guys rubbing up against each other. But that was a film, not for the TV.
Or something of... It's the new Interview with the Vampire.
It's so gay. But it's...
I saw a review or somebody saying, and it's really good because it's like bringing gays to the horror. And I'm like...
What? Excuse me?
It's the first.
A straight person wrote that, like, obviously.
I think it's the first time there's been a gay subtext in a vampire storyline.
No.
No.
It's good that it's gay, but it's that doesn't make it good, if that makes sense. But then again, that I didn't... We covered
it. Yeah, that up by itself doesn't make it good,
I will keep watching it to see if it does get good, but...
Yeah, you tell me.
Well.
So, I mean... If anybody's listening to this podcast and is like, I'm a producer, I can organize this stuff
together.
I'm a writer. Please employ me.
Just write it.
Joe's a writer. I'm an actor. Please employ me. I could play the old grandpa or something. I'm almost 40.
I'll just watch along.
Wise old.
Hang out.
You could be the taxi cab driver, Nick.
Tweet. Shit like that.
You can drive the taxi and be like, don't do that here. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to be the creepy, like, the creepy taxi. I can't drive, so it's probably not the good cost.
Just when you see the blowjob in the back seat, just push a button and all you see is like a recording.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the most unbelievable thing in Dante's Cove, that these two gay characters who can drive. I'm sorry. I don't think so.
Fantastic. I might have to watch it then. Maybe we'll do a live stream of it or something like that.
Oh my god, we could do a live stream.
It's a really long episode. I don't want to sit an hour and 45 an hour and 20 watching these people have blowjobs and beers.
Yeah.
Although,
so have we sold it to you, Nick?
Well, yeah, I've got it bookmarked. I've added it to my list just in case I have a weak moment over Christmas and think, I need something gay.
I bet it's more fun than interviewing.
Did you do it over Christmas?
Exactly, yeah.
Probably.
Oh, and Christmas. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ideal family viewing. It's definitely one to sit and watch.
I agree. Nan. Here we go.
Nan, I've got this episode I want to watch.
Ghost story about long dead vampires and curses and stuff.
With blowjobs. Good old Nana.
With blowjobs. Maybe don't mention that.
Anything more to say?
Anything more
to convince people that we haven't covered? I think that.
Dear listener, if you're listening and you want to, if you know what this show is, or if you listen to this episode and then gonna watch the first episode and you want to talk to us about it, please do so.
Or if you want to hear, or if you have a favorite moment that you remember from the first time watching it,
favorite moment, favorite character, how can they get a hold of us?
You can write to us, incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on the socials, Instagram and TikTok @incompletegeeks.
Yes. Please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Joe is also on the socials as well. Do you want to let people know what you're up to now, or how they can get a hold of you?
46. I don't. It's too much.
Fine. So,
I'm on Twitter as Joseph Lidster, all one word. I think.
Perfect. Do you want to plug it? Do you want to plug anything while you're here?
I'm having a very serious play about cancer at the moment, so I don't think that's necessary for this audience.
Fun.
Dante's Cove takes us up. Play brings us down. There we go.
Not really.
He's a writer, so...
I, as John will know, as he starred in a few, produce a series for Big Finish Productions of Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows. That is very
basically straight Dante's Cove, except when I took over, we added some gays. So, I'm slowly morphing. I'm slowly morphing Dark Shadows into Dante's Cove. That's my plan.
Why didn't we talk about that? Why didn't we talk about Dante's fucking cove? Even I didn't know. God damn it.
We've fallen behind because a couple of actors have sadly died because, people are in their 70s and 80s now. And just had some fit problems and other things going on. But the plan is that there will be more. But go back and get the rest.
Yeah, good.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a. I mean, I've listened to a couple ones that I wasn't in, and they're all fantastic stories. Like, it's all audio stuff, and it's just done really, really well.
And if you want to start with a radio play type thing. If you start with Beneath the Veil.
Say again?
Who's introduced in Beneath the Veil, John?
There's a character in... Is it that the first one?
Is that not the first one? Are you in an earlier one?
No, I was in the whole sort of six-episode arc.
I thought Beneath the Veil was the first one. Well, there's... What is he? Policeman? PC?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Beyond the Grave. Beyond the Grave is the last one.
Yeah.
Anyway, the first one. Is it Beneath the Veil?
Yeah.
Start with that one, and then the next six episodes. Kind of a bit of an arc for those six episodes. And there's a character that's featured who is the... who's like the deputy sheriff, Jim Hardy. He's got a really good voice.
Very sexy.
Impeccable acting as well. A love interest to one of the leads as well.
Ooh. And then, where is all this, by the way?
Bigfinish.com, is that right?
Yeah, bigfinish.com. Go to Dark Shadows. Look for
Dark Shadows.
Beneath the Veil. And you'll find...
That is the first one.
Deputy Sheriff... Jim Hardy, played by John Marks.
Yeah. That's me. And it's available for download, and you can also buy it, purchase a CD, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I gave them as gifts for all my family.
Of course.
Like my grandma had them, my parents did. Yeah, it was good fun. Anyway, that's enough for today. Thanks very much for Joe
thanks
for coming
Joe.
Out.
It's right.
Yeah. If we've gotten anything wrong, apologize. It's been a while since we've seen these episodes and we might have missed some details. Let us know. We apologize. We're not complete geeks.
But we are working on it.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.